All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin. Our shiur this morning is dedicated by Debbie Hoher in commemoration of the yahrzeit of her beloved father, Dr. Alan Kay, Avram Mordechai ben Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah and his family a nechama. So we're actually going to begin. I truly apologize. I actually recorded the rest of the Gemara from the Gemara on Tzaddik Aleph until the Mishnah on Tzaddik Beis Amud Aleph. I recorded it, but of course I forgot to upload it. So I uploaded it at about 5:15 this morning, but Moshe still has to post it. So it'll be here, so you're going to go back and you're going to do it, but we're going to start from the Mishnah on Tzaddik Beis Amud Aleph. So again, that recording is there from the Gemara on Tzaddik Aleph on the base to the Mishnah on Tzaddik Beis Amud Aleph, and I'm sure it will probably be posted shortly. So let's begin from the Mishnah. Tzaddik Beis Amud Aleph. Ochel poel kishos afilu bedinar. So again, the Mishnah now is continuing with the discussion of workers' rights to consume produce. And specifically what we're focusing on now over here is the ability of the worker to consume produce even if the value of that produce is in excess of the wage of the actual worker. So for example, a worker could go ahead, kishos are literally cucumbers. So a worker could go ahead and eat cucumbers, afilu bedinar, even if the cucumbers are exceptionally expensive. Koseves, vafilu bedinar, similarly again, the workers could consume dates, even if the dates are exceptionally expensive. Rabbi Lazar Chasma Omer, lo yochal poal yeser ascharob. So Rabbi Lazar disagrees with the Tanakhama. Rabbi Lazar says no, that the right of a worker to consume produce is only assuming that he consumes produce not in excess of his wage. But if he is not permitted to go ahead and consume produce, he's not permitted to consume produce in excess of his wage. The Chachamim say that it is mutter. The Chacham say that it is mutter. However, but according to the Chachamim, we teach a worker that he should not be a ravenous individual. Ravasan should not be a ravenous individual. He shouldn't be a shtickle glutton and eat everything he's entitled to. Why? Because if he does so, so same as a Pesach b'fanav, 92. Because he will go ahead and end up closing the door in front of his own face. What does that mean? He'll end up closing the door in front of his own face. Look at Rashi. So same as a Pesach b'fanav, people will stop hiring him for work. In other words, I will say what the Chacham are saying over here is the Chacham are agreeing that yes, a worker is entitled to eat whatever he wants when he's on the job. Again, in accordance with the caveats that we established in yesterday's daf, and again, in the part that I recorded, which Amir Teshem will be posted, we'll see that there are caveats. A worker can't just eat anything and everything. There are definitely limitations. But again, he is permitted to eat even in excess of the value of his own wage. But the Chachamim say, we teach him not to do that. Because what's going to happen? If he gets a reputation as a worker who eats more than his wage, what's going to end up happening? He's not going to find himself with too many employment opportunities. Right? Therefore, we tell him, listen, as much as you're entitled to eat whatever you want, don't do it, because you'll end up closing doors in front of yourself. Says the Gemara, Chacham hainu Tanakam. So as the Gemara, I'm saying the Chachamim are saying the same thing as the Tanakam. In other words, both the Chachamim, which is the last opinion of the Mishnah, and the Tanakhama, the first opinion of the Mishnah, are agreeing that a worker is permitted to go ahead and eat produce independent of how much the produce is worth, even if the produce is in excess of the value of the wage, to which the Gemara says, Ika b'nayhu ava melamdin. So we'll say, so nafkamina between them is the phrase of melamdin. Do we teach the worker, or do we tell the worker, try not to do this? It is better for you not to go ahead and eat in excess of the value of your wage. The Tanakhama, less le melamdin. Most of the Tanakhama does not subscribe to this idea of melamdin. The Rabbanon is le melamdin. But according to the Rabbanon, they do subscribe to the idea of melamdin. Namely, we tell the worker that as much as you're entitled to eat more than the value of your wage, better not to do it. Ibaisim, when Rabbanon, another possibility is, Ika ben Adravasi. The other possibility is an afkamina between the two opinions is the Shita of Ravasi. Dam Ravasi, afidu lo sachru el livtsar eshkol echad ochlo. So this is interesting. Ravasi has a fascinating shita that even if a person was only hired to go ahead and pick one cluster of grapes, he is still permitted to go ahead and eat it. Furthermore, meaning the workers permitted to eat it. They will say, even though what? Even though it turns out, if I'm hired to, right, to pick one cluster of grapes, and I eat that cluster of grapes because I'm entitled to as an employee, then what happens? Obviously, the balabas has nothing. Ravasi says, even in a case like that, one is permitted to go ahead and eat the grapes. Furthermore, va'am Ravasi, afila lo batzar ala eshkol echad ochlo. Ravasi said, the other version of Ravasi is that even if the worker only harvested one cluster of grapes, he is permitted to go ahead and eat that. So we'll say in the first version of Ravasi, or the first statement of Ravasi, the worker is only hired to harvest one cluster, and he's permitted to eat it. In the second version, he might be hired to harvest multiple clusters, but he's even permitted to eat the very first one that he harvests. So as I see, the Gemara is suggesting over here, the Gemara is suggesting that this statement of Ravasi is the machlokes, or is the point of contention between the Tanakama and between the Chachamim. So says the Gemara, Utsricha, and I need both of these statements. Now remember, again, I will say, if you think about this, the two statements of Rav Asi seem to be a bit redundant. So, but yet the Gemara says, I need both of them. Why? First of all, just take a quick look at Rashi. Tanakama islay Rav Asi. You see that, Rashi? Bachi kamar. This is what the Gemara means to say. Paul ochal kishos shehi levado. So I will say, so the Tanakama will say the following. A worker has the ability to go ahead and eat cucumbers, shehi levado, even if he's only picking one cucumber, and that's the only cucumber. Ve'enot, va'afilu hi shavadina, va'asar rabbi alazar le'meimar bein shu levado, bein shesachru la'o l'charoseha, im shave yosar al scharo lo yochlenu. Va'asar rabbonan v'asray le'meimar, yosar al scharo mutru le'chol im skir yomu, So we'll say the Gemara suggests is the following. That the point of contention over here is the statement of Ravasi. Let's say I hire a worker to only go ahead and pick one cucumber. Tanakama says that even if that is the only cucumber that the worker is picking, the worker is still permitted to eat it, even though it'll turn out that the balabas will have nothing left. So furthermore, even if that cucumber is worth more than the actual wage of the worker, he could still go ahead and eat it. Comes along Rebbe Lozer, and says no, that if that a worker is never permitted to consume more than the value of his wage, and the Chacham come along and say, even though technically speaking he's entitled to consume more than his wage, we teach him not to do that. Fine, so the Gemara is suggesting that's the machlokes. Now the Gemara says, but why don't I need both statements of Ravasi? Utsricha, if it would have just said the first statement of Ravasi, namely, that even if a worker is hired to pick one cucumber, or one cluster, I should say, he's permitted to eat that cluster. Because also in a case like that, look, a worker has a biblical entitlement to eat. See, even though, again, this biblical entitlement is going to cost the balabas his cluster, the entitlement is the entitlement. So he's entitled to eat, even though he will not be able to put anything into the utensils of the balabas. In a case where multiple clusters, and a worker therefore has the ability to go ahead and put clusters into the utensils of the balabais, Emo leisev bereisha v'hadru leichol. I would have thought that the halacha is that first a worker has to put produce in the utensils of the balabais, and then only afterwards is he permitted to eat. Kamash Mulan, the Gemara tells us, no, that the worker is permitted to go ahead and eat of the produce even before he places it in the utensils of the balabais. Furthermore, the Asher in the Baha, and we'll say, if we would have just said the second case, the Asher, the Kayuni, the Basof, because it will say, ultimately, again, I have the ability to give to the balabais at the end. In other words, the worker, because there are multiple clusters, even if the worker eats the first one, he will have the ability to go ahead and put subsequent clusters in the utensils of the balabais. I will say, in a situation where he will be unable to put clusters in the utensils of the balabais later on because there are no more clusters, I would have thought that he's not permitted to eat. Therefore, again, Tzricha, therefore both cases are necessary. Iboy Seima, we'll say the other possibility is, Ikabinah, the other possible nafkamina is the following. We'll say, we're on Tzadik Beizim and Aleph 92a, you see where Tosus Ve'i Amrit is? So almost right across there in the Gemara, pretty much right in the middle of the page. So again, understand what we are trying to do over here. We are trying to figure out, ultimately again, the nafkamina between the Tanakama and the Chachamim. Both seem to be saying the same exact thing, namely, that although on a that a worker is permitted to go ahead and eat more than the value of his wage. Which Shabbos says is a fascinating idea. I'm getting paid $100 to eat, but let's say again I'm working in the, you know, in the vineyard of a boutique winery. So I'm going ahead, I'm going to eat, I could eat $500 of grapes over the course of the day. The difference is that the Chachamim say, we try to urge the worker not to do that. Because if he does that, we tell him, just by the way, you're not going to find yourself with many employment opportunities, because you're going to get blacklisted as the guy who's a little bit of a glutton on the job. We're trying to figure out, so what is the nafkamina between the two opinions? So says the Gemara. So Ibaisim, the other possibility is Ikabina, who Durav. Domarav. So the other possibility is nafkamina is the sheet of Rav. What does Rav say? Domarav. Matsasi migilas storim be Rabchia. I found a hidden scroll in the yeshiva of Rabbi Chia. Now, what does this mean? I found the hidden scroll. Look at Rashi. Megillas Starin, Megillah Temuna, Lefisha Asra Lichtov Halacha. So we'll say, this is talking from the time where Torah Shebaal Peh was not committed to writing. So Torah Shebaal Peh was not committed to writing. So literally, again, you cannot record Torah Shebaal Peh. So what happened over here? So says the Gemara. Says Rashi, excuse me. So let's listen to this. Even when the custom was not to write Torah Shebaal Peh, the halacha was not to write Torah Shebaal Peh, that was true for public dissemination. But if I, as an individual, wanted to record certain teachings so that I would not forget them, I was able to keep my own personal notebook. So Rav says over here, we found the hidden scroll in the house of Rabbi Chiya, the Kasuv Bar, and said the following. Isi ben Yehuda, or Isi ben Yehuda says, Kisavo bekerem reacha, when you come into the vineyard of your friend. So remember again, the pasuk says, Va'achalta anavim kinafshecha. You can eat as many grapes as you want. So both say, the way we normally interpret this to mean is, who is this referring to? This is referring to a worker. This is going to blow your mind. Isi ben Yehuda says, Bebias kol adam akasav medaber. Isi ben Yehuda dashed in this pasuk to say that, who does it refer to, both say? Anyone. Anyone who comes into my field. Now, again, what does it mean, anyone who comes into my field? This doesn't just mean someone comes into my field. Whether it means if someone comes into my field and happens to do a little bit of work, they're on their own volition, I didn't hire them, that they are entitled to go ahead and partake of the produce. So, Babias called them a custom adaber. Va'omarav, Rav said, well, if that's the case, lo shavik isi chayi l'chol beria. Isi has made life impossible for every single person. Because they both say, what's going to end up happening is that Lamaisa, again, Lamaisa, you will not end up, meaning you create an impossible situation where anyone could walk into my field and effectively begin to go ahead and enjoy my produce. So the Gemara says, Amrav l'shavik isi l'chal b'chabriya, Amrav ashi, Amrisa l'shmaita kamed Rav Kahana. So I said this over in front of Rav Kahana. So we'll say, so first of all, the Gemara is suggesting over here, the Tanakama subscribes to the position of Isi, and the Chachamim do not. And Rav Kahana said, Duma ba'osin b'su'udasam. So maybe the case of Isi, Abosai, is like we said before, not just some people who walk into my field and can take whatever they want, but rather people who work for their meal. Workers who come in and say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and do some work in Silber's field, and I'll eat in accordance with the value of the work I perform. The avdu va'achlu. So I'll say, so again, they're not really taking anything, but rather, again, instead of getting paid, they're going ahead and simply what? Working. They know how much the value of their labor is, and they're taking the amount of grapes, which is gives as an example, in accordance with their labor. I'm sorry? No, with no agreement. That's the chap over here. The chap over here is that Isi ben Yehuda is saying, listen, someone could wander into your field and essentially become a self-appointed employee. Again, I'm not stealing, I'm not going to take stuff, I'm going to do work, but I'm also going to establish my own wage. Because again, remember, obviously, if there's an established wage, and I establish with a worker of mine, that's what? I'm not going to pay you, but your payment is going to be grapes, that's fine, that's an employment agreement. The chiddush over here, according to Isi ben Yehuda, is that some guy I could come off the street, decide to do work in my vineyard. Again, let's assume for a moment it's objectively beneficial work. Let's assume, right? And then he could say, you know, Silber didn't hire me, but I'm going to take my payment in the form of grapes. Isi ben Yehuda says that could happen. So the Gemara says, Amr li, afilu hachi. So both say, Isi ben Yehuda says this work, but they said to me, it shouldn't work. Why? Nechale le'inish, lo'oger aguri v'niktefe le'pardisei, v'lo ne'se kuli alma v'achlu le'. They still disagreed with Isi ben Yehuda, why Rabbi Osei? Because most people Most people would rather what? Most people would rather hire their own workforce. I would rather hire my own workers, have control over who comes into my field, than just have everyone entering into my field and working at their own will. Ibailu. Bosai, and now we come to a very, very interesting discussion. Ibailu. Poel. Mishalahu ochal. So here's what we've established. We now know officially that a worker is entitled to eat of produce when he's working in the field. And we've established over the last number of days the parameters of that right. Now the Gemara asks a very interesting shaila. When the worker has the right to eat, so at the end of the day, is that entitlement his entitlement? I mean, do we view that as an extra dimension to a salary package? And it's understood that whenever you go ahead and you hire a worker, there are two parts to the salary package. There's what we call the cash package, and there's the benefits package. The benefits package is quite limited. It just includes food. But that's part of, as a worker, that's part of my salary. Or do we say, no, it's not part of your salary package. Rather, again, that is a divine entitlement. The Ribono Shel Olam gives you, the worker, that entitlement. So we'll see what the nafkamina is. Watch this. So the Gemara says, Lamai nafkamina, meaning, who cares? At the end of the day, bottom line is the same, which is what? You get to eat, right? Bottom line is you get to eat. What does it matter if it's part of my salary package or if it's a divine entitlement? Watch this. So the Gemara says, "Damar tnuli ishti ubonai." Well, so listen to this. Let's say I'm working in a field and I say, you know what? I would have normally gone ahead and consume X number of clusters of grapes. I would like those clusters to be given to my wife and children. To my wife and children. In other words, what is the Gemara saying? Do I have a right to convey that entitlement to someone else? So says the Gemara, it depends. So I'll say, if you say that the entitlement is mine, that it's part of my salary package, so the same way I could tell my employer, do me a favor, don't give me the paycheck, just give it to my wife. A lot of chokhmah to that, right? Just give it to my wife. So too, I could take the entitlement of the food and say, give it to my wife as well. If you say it's a divine entitlement, then the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, gave that to me, the worker, but did not give that. In other words, I have the right to eat the grapes. But who says that that is a transferable right? That's a divine right that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the worker. It's non-transferable. So says the Gemara, what's the halacha? So we'll say, this is a very so distinct shayla. And again, you could see how one could go ahead and clearly want to transfer this right to others. Is it a transferable right or not? Machlokes as to whether or not, again, it's part of my salary package or divine entitlement. If it's a salary package, I could transfer. If it's a divine entitlement, non-transferable. So Tashma. Mishnah said, a worker could eat cucumbers, even if they're very expensive, dates, even if they're very expensive, and above, even if the value of that is even more than my salary package as a worker. So we'll say, if you say this is part of my salary package, then I understand it. Because then essentially, I'm being hired to work at Danka, is a sixth of a zuz, and I'm eating a zuz. In other words, that at the end of the day, this is part of my salary package. I have salary, and I have produce consumption. So what will you say? What's the other possibility? That it's a divine entitlement. So we'll say, either way, this whole thing sounds exceptionally strange, that I could be hired for a sixth of a zuz, yet be entitled to eat produce that's worth a zuz. Rather, we'll say, what do you have to say? The only way this makes sense is if you say that produce consumption while on the job is a divine entitlement. It's a divine entitlement. If you say it's a divine entitlement, then at the end of the day, whether the produce is worth more or less than the actual wage of the job, it doesn't make a difference. This is a special entitlement that the Ribono Shel Olam has conveyed to me, the worker. Tashma, Rabbi Lazar Chasim Omer, Lo Yochal Paul Yosal Scharo. So what Rabbi Lazar said in the Mishnah, that what? A worker should not consume produce in excess of his wage. Ve'charmatim, the Chacham say that it's permitted. Maila Bakmevgis, what are they arguing about? Dimar Savar Mishalahu Ochal, Dimar Savar Mishal Shemayim Ochal. It could very well be that the point of contention in the Mishnah Abosai is the nature of the entitlement of a worker to eat produce. One opinion holds that it's a divine entitlement, and therefore, again, you could even eat produce in excess of the value of the wage. The other opinion says, no, this is part of your salary package, in which case the produce consumed cannot surpass the amount of the wage. To which the Gemara says, lo, t'chuli alma mishalahu ochal. Rather says the Gemara, no, at the end of the day, a person goes ahead and eats a mishalahu ochel. It is part of my salary package. It's part of my salary package. And Abbas say here, you're arguing about how to dash in the pasuk. How so? Say one opinion says that kinaf shecha refers to something in which a person is mosra nefeshvar, which refers to parnasa. In other words, that when a person ultimately again is working for someone else, that's when they have the right to consume produce. The other opinion darshins kinaf shecha how ma naf shecha im chasamta potter af polim chasamta potter. We had this a few days ago, that just like if I'm the owner of the field, I have the right to quote unquote muzzle myself and not partake of the produce. So to again, a worker, as an employer, I have the right to go ahead and negotiate with my worker not to eat on the job as well. Tashma. So I'll say again, we still have not resolved this fundamental shayla. How do we view the entitlement of a worker to consume produce while on the job? Is this mishalo? Is this a part of a salary package? Or is it min hashamayim? Or is it ultimately, again, a divine entitlement? The nafka, meaning the practical difference of both, say, is what? Is this a transferable right? If it's part of my salary package, it's transferable. If it's a divine entitlement, it's not transferable. So we're going to still try to resolve this. Tashma, nazir sha'amer tenu l'ishto l'banav. So we'll say, a nazir, listen to this case. A nazir is picking grapes. So we'll say, so what happens? So he says, listen, I'm not going to obviously partake of this. I am a nazir, but can you please give my, whatever I would have consumed, give it to my wife and children. Ein shomelo. So we'll say, we do not listen to him. Why? The Gemara says, "V'yamrit mishalohu ochel amayin shalom." Now again, if you say that this is part of his salary package, then what? Why would you not listen to him? This is his entitlement. He should be able to transfer it to his wife and kids. So the Gemara says, "No, there's a different reason." Hasam mishum lechalach amir nazira sechar the sechar lekarma lo sikrav. But said there, it's because we tell a nazir, we don't want you dealing in a vineyard. We don't want you working in a vineyard. Also, we don't want a nazir working in a vineyard. Because you tell him, literally, get out of here. Go around the vineyard. In other words, we'll say this is a penalty because we don't want him working in a vineyard to begin with, but it's not a raya to our question. Next. Tashma. Paul Shamar Tnuli Ishti Ubanai. We'll say, a worker says, I'm not going to consume produce while on the job. Instead, give the produce I would have consumed to my wife and children. I'll say first of the widest lines on the bottom. Ein shomelo, we do not listen to him. Vi amrit mishalahu ochel. Now if you say that the right to consume produce is part of a salary package, so the Gemara says, amai in shomelo, why do we not go ahead and transfer it to his wife and kids? To which the Gemara says, my poel, what's the case of poel? It's nazir. The Gemara is suggesting over here it's the same case as we stated before. It's nazir. So therefore, Abosai, whenever it comes to a nazir, we always tell him what? Get out of the vineyard. We just want you in the vineyard. Therefore, part of the way we penalize the nazir for going out and working in the vineyard is how? By telling him that his consumption rights are non-transferable. But one second, it's two different brisos. One brisa says nazir, one brisa says Paul. Why would you say the case of Paul is the case of nazir as well? Midi gabi hadadi tanya. They're taught together. Tashma minayin the Paul shomer tenu l'ishti ubanai shein shomelo. We'll say, how do we know that if a Paul says to his employer, give my consumption rights to my wife and to my children, that we don't listen to him? Shneimar ve'al kel yecha lo titein, because the pasuk says you shall not go ahead and. You shall not go ahead and place it into your pasuk. We'll say this is talking about over here that when a worker has the right to consume, he only has the right to consume. He doesn't have the right to put it into his utensils and bring it home. V'chiteima hachanami nazir. So if you want to say that the same case, that the case of Paul is the case of nazir, ihachi mishum al kaliyachalotitein mishum luchalach amir nazira. We'll say the reason by nazir that we just said before that it's not a transferable right has nothing to do with al kaliyachalotitein, but rather has to do with what? Because we penalize the nazir from working in a vineyard, to which the Gemara says, we'll say, in reality, the brisos of poel and nazir are the same. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. The Braisas are exactly the same. The only reason the Braisa brought down the Lashon of Al Kelyecha Lo Titein was only because the Braisa used the Lashon of Poel. Because that Lashon of Al Kelyecha Lo Titein is a din by a worker. That a worker is permitted to consume, but a worker is not permitted to go ahead and place the produce in his utensils to ultimately bring it home. So we'll say, so bottom line, what the Gemara is suggesting is the following. A Nazir's right is non-transferable, but the truth is that doesn't help us resolve our machlokas. Why not? Because at the end of the day, it might just be a penalty by the Nazir for working in a vineyard. Similarly, it appears that a worker's right, and therefore there's no raya from that second brisa of the poel, because the Gemara now is suggesting that that case of the poel is actually the same case as the nazir as well. So the Gemara goes weiter. Tashma hasochres apol litzos b'tzein. We'll say last phrase. So again, we're still in the midst of this machlokas as to whether or not the right of consumption is a transferable right or not. Tashma hasochres apol litzos b'tzeinim. I hire a worker to go ahead and. Rashi says, Likto says, Liavsham basada lasos katsios, to dry out figs in the field in order to make them into cakes of pressed figs. So I'm hiring a worker to go ahead and dry out figs in the field. I'm a base. Hareza ochel upatre bin amaiser. So we'll say, what's talocha? Talocha is that such a worker is permitted to eat and is patre bin amaiser. Now remember, says the, look at Rashi just a moment. Hareza ochel upatre, the cheben de omzos liktos. Because Rabbi said the idea over here is that since these figs still have to be pressed into cakes, therefore again the malacha they're not finished. And remember again, produce only becomes subject to tithing obligations once the produce is quote unquote finished, once it's fully processed. So therefore, you can eat from the figs and it's part of minamaisa. Almanas shani almanas. Almanas sheochal ani ubni o sheochal bni bischari. So we'll say, let's say again, I go ahead and I accept employment, and I say that I accept employment on the condition that sheochal ani ubni, that both myself and my son could partake of the produce, or sheochal bni bischari, or that ultimately again my son should be able to go ahead and partake as part of my wage. So what's talocha? Who ochal upater? So I, the worker, and permitted to consume produce, and it's potter from Meiser. Ubeno ochel v'chayiv. But ultimately, again, my son could eat, but what? It's chayiv in Meiser. Now look at Rashi for just a moment. Hu ochel u'potter, both said third line down from the top in Rashi. I, the worker, am permitted to eat and exempt from tithes. Shatora zichselo kileket shichho v'eshukhtrim in Meiser. Because they both say, for me, the worker, this is my entitlement. Meaning, as a worker, I have an entitlement to consume produce that I'm working with. No different than an ani, than a poor person, has the right to go ahead and partake of leket, shechecha, and peah. And I will say, remember again, any time, here's the bottom line, you know, part of the biblical tax code is that whenever you have a biblical entitlement, that is tax, or quote, tithe free. So just like an ani need not tithe, leket shechecha and peah. So too, if I'm a worker, that entitlement that I have to consume produce is also a tithe free entitlement. So I could eat without tithing. However, my son, although it's part of our employment arrangement, he must take chumas and maisers before eating. Look at Rashi. Ubeno ochal v'chayiv b'maiser dahavile kilokeach mekach shlo nigmara malachto. Because let's listen to this. Because my son is considered to be a purchaser, so to speak. He's considered as if he's purchasing the produce. And remember, again, we already learned this before, that when you purchase produce, the purchase itself almost completes the processing of the produce, making it a fully finished item, and therefore subject ultimately to trumas and maisers. V'yarmit mishalohu ochal. And they will say, here's why I'm bringing this down. If you say that my entitlement as an employee to consume produce is part of my salary package, then the Gemara says, "Beno amai chayiv." Then if that's the case, that if I choose to allocate my entitlement to my son, then really my son should be an extension of me, and he should be able to eat without tithing as well. Amravino mishum demechzi kamekach. That case is different, Rabbi said, because that case says the Gemara, of where again I'm making this a condition, has the appearance ultimately again of a mekach. of a purchase. And whenever we get into a situation of purchase, we've already established that whenever produce is purchased, that already represents gemar melacha, that represents the end of the processing of produce, and therefore makes it subject to chumas and maestros. Tashma, both say, so we still haven't resolved the kasha. Tashma, hasocher es hapoa la'asas b'netta revai. You're supposed to listen to this. I hire a worker to work in my netta revai. So what's netta revai? So we'll say netta revai means, remember, first three years is Arla. In the fourth year again, so the produce ultimately is consumable, but it's almost like Meister Shani's thing. In other words, it has to be consumed in Yerushalayim. So I hire a worker to go ahead and work with my Natu Revai. So what's Talacha? Hare Elu Lo Yochlu. So we'll say, so ultimately again, the workers are not permitted to go ahead and eat of the Natu Revai. Now, why can't they eat of the Natu Revai? Look at Rashi. It's almost right across in Rashi. He says, Hare Elu Lo Yochlu, Debay Choma, the Gamar Kodesh Kodesh Meisah. So also listen to this, because remember again, Natar Revai could only be consumed within the walls of Yerushalayim. Therefore, if I hired workers to go and eat to work in a field of Natar Revai, they can't eat the produce because the case over there we're assuming is we're outside of Yerushalayim. So what's that? Chavim Loho Diyum. Rabbo said, let's say again. So that assumes, and I hired the workers, I told them explicitly that's what? That they are working in a field. They are working in the field of Natar Revai. Let's say I hired workers, but I never told them that they're working with Natar Revai. So when they accepted employment, they accepted employment under what expectation? That they were going to be able to eat from the produce they were working with. Therefore, if I did not tell them that it was Natar Revai, then poda umachilan. Then I have to redeem that Natar Revai and allow them to go ahead and consume it. V'yamrit mishal shemayim u'ochel. People say, if I say that the entitlement for the entitlement of an employee of a worker to eat produce is a divine entitlement, am I podu machilon? Why does the employer have to redeem the natar revai in order for the employee to eat? After all, isura lo zachi de rachmana. People say, the divine entitlement is only in cases where the produce is permitted for consumption. If the produce is not permitted for consumption, then there's no divine entitlement. Why does the employer have to redeem the produce? To which the Gemara says, Hasam mishum de mechse ke mechachtos. We'll say there because in a situation like this, it looks like a mechachtos. What does that mean? Because since, again, the employer never said anything to the employee about the nature of the produce that was going to be worked, if the employee had every right to expect that he was going to be able to consume the produce, and therefore, again, it's a mechachtos if he shows up and he can't go ahead and consume the produce. Therefore, the way the employer makes that right is to redeem the natar revai and ultimately allow the employee to eat that. But yeah, look at the end of that price. Nisparsu agulov, nisparsu chaviosav. Also, listen to this case. Let's say, again, I have cakes of pressed figs that somehow came apart. They came apart. Or what happens? Or nispasu chaviosav. My barrels of wine went ahead and opened up and the wine spilled out. So we'll say, I hire workers to go ahead and repress the figs into cakes and to regather the wine into the barrels. What's the halacha? Hare elu lo yochlu. So we'll say, these workers are not permitted to go ahead and consume the figs or the wine. What's the reason for that? Look at Rashi. Hare elu lo yochlu. De'ein pol ochel b'dav shening marmalachto. L'maisa. Because we'll say, both of these cases, both the wine and the figs, because they were already in the barrels and into cakes of pressed figs, they were already considered to be fully finished produce, therefore subject to chumas and maestros. And once you're subject to chumas and maestros, an employee no longer has the right to consume them. However, v'im lo hodiyun, ma'aser u'ma'achilon. Now we'll say, if I did not tell the workers from the beginning that I was hiring them to go ahead and what? To work with produce that was already subject to chumas and maestros, so they show up at the job thinking they're going to be able to consume produce, then I have an obligation to tithe the produce and allow them to eat of the figs and of the wine. Says the Gemara, V'i amrit mishal shemayim u'ochel. Now if you say that the entitlement for a worker to consume produce while working is a divine entitlement, amai ma'asru ma'achilon. Why would the employer have an obligation to first tithe the produce in order to allow the employee to eat? After all, isur lo zachi lirachmano. Yes, it's true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the worker an entitlement to go out and consume produce, but that's only permitted produce. It doesn't give him an entitlement to consume prohibited produce. I maybe will sit over here. Well, the problem over here is that when the workers show up and they think they're going to be permitted to eat them and they found out that they can't, it's like a mechachtos. So well, let's analyze this. Bishlaman is parsu agulav mechseke mechachtos. So I understand about how if I show up in a field and I see scattered figs, you see, I don't know that those figs were once pressed into a cake and then came apart. For all I know is that what? These are just stam scattered figs. So the stam scattered figs are now subject to shumas and maestras. I see it. I assume I'm going to be able to eat them. Then I find out that no, they were a part of a cake of pressed figs, which means that they were subject to shumas and maestras, and the cake fell apart. And now I have to regather them. So I understand how that can be mekachtos. Hello. This pasu chaviosav, my mekachtos, ika, made the yoda the itbol of maestra. I will say, in a case of where the barrels of wine cracked open, now I have to regather the wine, everyone knows that once the wine is barreled, I don't know if that's a proper verb, but okay, once it's barreled, then what? Then it becomes subject to chumas and maestros. So what's the mekachtos there? To which the Gemara says, Amrav Sheish says, listen to this, Shenis pasru chavios of labor. But this is actually very interesting. Remember, wine, they used to allow the wine to ferment, to collect and to ferment in like a pit. So what happened over here? When the barrels cracked open, back into the pit. The wine poured back into the pit. So I show up and the owner tells me that I need you to transport the wine from the pit into the barrels. I say, fine, as far as I know what's going on over here, this is brand new wine. And therefore, again, because it has not yet been barreled, therefore, again, it is not yet subject to shumas and maestros. Then I find out that what? That it was in the barrel cracked, it poured back into the pit, which means that I can't partake of this wine because now it's subject to shumas and maestros. To which the Gemara says, V'hatanya, so Amar Sheshav V'hatanya, we learn, Yaim Shared Labar. So we'll say we learned that wine, once it goes down into the pit, is going to be subject to Chumas and Maestras, to which the Gemara says, no, could I be Akiva? So it could be that this price goes going to Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva holds that wine only becomes subject to Chumas and Maestras, Mishayikva. Mishayikva means when they remove the foam from the top. Rashi says over Mishayikva, Mishayikfu achartsonim al piabar, kishemaske lios toseis venot lazag mishumashlichan. So apparently, there's some part of the wine that foams or congeals on the top of it. So according to Rabbi Akiva, once you remove the foam or the congealed dregs, literally that sounds like over here, so at that point in time, the wine is considered to be a fully finished object, or produce, I should say, and subject to chumas and maestras. So Gemara says, da'amrulei, because the workers could say to the Balabayas, Lohava Yadinon, we did not know. We did not know, meaning we showed up, we found this ultimately again in the pit. We thought that you hired us to work with produce that was not yet subject to Chumas and Maestros, therefore we'd be permitted to partake of it. Now we find out that it was already barreled or whatever other process, and therefore again, it's like a Mechatos. The name of Lohu, Ibai Luchu Asuka Adatayecho Dilma Mikva. But why can't the Balabas say back to them, but 1 second, you should have thought to yourself that even though this wine is still in the pit, maybe the foam or the congealed part was already skimmed, and therefore subject to Chumas and Maestros, to which the Gemara said, Ba'asra Dehu Gavra, the nugget ihu makva, because we're dealing in a locale, but say normally the people who go ahead and take the wine out from the pit to barrel it would also be the people who would remove the foam from on top of it. So the Gemara says, Vahashta detani Rav Zavid b'dibe Rav Oshia, Yain mishiyara labar v'yikfe, that wine becomes subject to Chumas and Maestros once it goes down into the pit and the foam forms on top. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Mishiyala Bechavios, and Rabbi Akiva says it will only become subject to Chumas and Maestros from the time that you put it into barrels. Afilu Tema Shalon is Pasu Chavios of Labar. You could even set this up as a case. We don't have to set this up as a case where the barrels broke and the wine spilled back into the pit. The Amrulei, Lo Hava Yadinan, Demashli. So ultimately, again, they could just simply go ahead and say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, we did not yet know that it was drawn out from the pit and put into the barrels. To which the Gemara says, let the Balabas say to them, Iboy luchu asuke dataychu dilma mashle. So ultimately, again, the Balabas could have said to them, you should have been cognizant of the fact that perhaps, again, the foam was already removed. To which the Gemara says, Ba'asra dahu desharik hahu mashle. Because we're talking about a locale where the place, ultimately, again, I'm about to say, the place where the person who would barrel it would also be the person who would be removing the foam. Fine. Tashma. Kotzeitz Adam Ayde Atzmo Ayde Bnei Beiso. Kotzeitz Adam Ayde Atzmo Ayde Bino Ubito Hagidolim Ayde Avdo Fishivchas Hagidolim Vayde Ishto Bifnei Shiyesh Landas. Well, so listen to this case. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Kotzeitz Litomos Lo Yochas. So we'll say a person has the ability now. We're talking about the ability of a person to negotiate. To negotiate certain contracts on behalf of others. So, for example, the case over here is the following. A man could go ahead and stipulate for his adult son and daughter, for his adult servant and maidservant, and for his wife. Now, what is he stipulating over here? He's stipulating with the employer that these individuals ultimately, again, Rashi says, litol ma'os lo yochal, to increase their wage in recognition that they will not eat of the produce with which they are working. Okay? However, mipnei sheish ban das, because we'll say all these people have das. Aval ino kotzeitz lo ayde bino ubito haktanim. However, again, he cannot go ahead and make this stipulation for his minor children. And furthermore, he can't make this stipulation for his minor servants. Nor could he make this stipulation for his animal. Because we'll say, none of these people have das. So we'll say, we're making the assumption over here that what? That the person who's going ahead and making this stipulation is a person who's supporting these individuals, and because he's supporting them, therefore he has the right to stipulate vis-a-vis their parnasa. Now watch this. So we'll say, if you want to say that a worker's entitlement to eat, ultimately, again, is a divine entitlement. Then we'll say, I understand why ultimately, again, if the person doesn't have das, then you can't go ahead and make any kind of stipulation. Look at Rashi. Just one more line, then we'll stop. First one line on Rashi. So if you say this is a divine entitlement, then I understand why the katan's entitlement cannot be negotiated for. If you want to say that the entitlement is the worker's himself, part of his salary package, then let's say the father should even be able to negotiate for his children who are ketanim, to which the Gemara says, Hachama Askino, what's the case over here? B'shein ma'ala mezonos. But the case over here is that no, the father, in this case, the father slash the master, is not supporting these individuals in question. If that's the case, Iachi Gedolim Nami, if that's the case, ultimately, again, then why could he negotiate this on behalf of the adult children? To which the Gemara says, Gedoli Yodi Vikamachli. The adult children know about this arrangement, and they are actively willing to be mochal their rights of consumption for a greater salary. Aye, v'hat Hanar Rabbi Oshia, kotzeitz adam ayde asav ayde ishto, aval lo ayde behemto. Right, well, so, you know, we'll have to stop over here. We'll stop at Vahatan Rabbi Oshia. Again, I know we're stopping mid-question, but again, just we're focusing really over here on one simple and basic question, which is the nature of the entitlement of a worker to eat. Is it where everybody agrees, well, it's not a question of agreeing because the Torah says it, that when a worker works in a field with produce, so again, that worker has the right of consumption. We are trying to figure out what is the nature of that right. Is that what's called mishalo? Is that a function of the worker's salary package? Or is this considered to be a divine entitlement? We're trying to see now, what's the major nafkamina between those two approaches? The major nafkamina is this a transferable right? If I'm the worker, can I transfer the right of consumption to my wife, to my kids? Well, it depends. If it's part of my salary, then yes. However, if it's a divine entitlement, that divine entitlement is only for the worker himself, is a non-transferable right. The Gemara is trying to answer this question. We leave off in the middle of a raya, and we'll pick up here, Amir Hashem, tomorrow morning. Also, as I mentioned at the beginning of the shir, I recorded the rest of yesterday's daf from the Gemara Tzaddik Aleph Amud Beis, ultimately to the Mishnah of Tzaddik Beis. So it'll be posted in Meretz Hashem this morning.